Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He swings! Alexander Steen on his forehand hits a deep to left field! That's way back! Shoot, score! And it's a gunner! Bring out the Zamboni!
Oh, yeah!
This is a legendary KMOX Sports Open Line, presented by Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, celebrating over 50 years serving St. Louis on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Here we go. It's the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you on KMOX, the Tuesday, November 14th, 2017 edition of the program, with you until 7 o'clock tonight. That's when Wendy's Weekend Hockey takes over with Alex Ferrario and Amy Mark Scores. Blues fall last night in Calgary, 7-4 the final. Kind of a weird game in that it was a 2-2 game after 20 minutes, then a 2-2 game after 40 minutes, then 7 goals in the final 20 minutes. But the Blues will regroup a couple of days off, and then the Edmonton Oilers on Thursday night in Edmonton at 8 o'clock, Vancouver on Saturday night in Vancouver, then home for a 5-game homestand. So a little Blues hockey talk coming your way at 7 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk a little Mizzou, everything, and more with Mike Kelly at 6:30. Mike Kelly at 6:30. If you want to get involved in the program, I invite you to do so until 7 o'clock. 436-7900 is the telephone number, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can text me at the same number, 436-7900. Tweet me, follow me on Twitter, and tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at KMOX Sports. That is where you'll get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. Ben Boyd's executive producer of the program. Mike Anderson's my guy here in the KMOX studios. A Tuesday night mini edition of the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. So as we're watching a lot of these like non-conference early games, and trust me, I am one who does not usually get too involved in college basketball until the later portion of the schedule, not only conference play, but also conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament. But obviously that's an exception with Mizzou this year. But we look at some of the non-conference games that are or are not scheduled. And I give Mizzou credit for playing Iowa State to open the season, give them credit for going to take on Utah. But a lot of teams don't do that. And tonight is an example of a couple of November college games that you can get really excited about because they are playing the tournament once again in Chicago. What's it called? The Champions Classic? Michigan State, Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas. Awesome. So cool. And right now, Michigan State is playing Duke, the number one team in the country versus the number two team in the country. And later tonight, Kansas is playing Kentucky, the number four team in the country versus the number seven team in the country. I love Tom Ackerman's idea that I've heard other folks talk about, but if you could get Mizzou, Illinois, SLU, Missouri State, and play like a four-team tournament, maybe the week before Thanksgiving, like this weekend or this past weekend, I think it's great. I know that Thanksgiving week, teams have all sorts of crazy tournaments. Mizzou's going to be down in Orlando, and they don't really play anyone. That's kind of, I think, more of a trip for the team. But if you could get more regional tournaments, I mean, pipe dream to say Mizzou and Kansas organize something like that. But could you imagine? It would be unbelievable. It would be absolutely fantastic. And I give Duke, Michigan State, Kansas, and Kentucky a lot of credit for playing these games at the beginning of the season every year. And you can get a good barometer of where your team's at. Like, Michigan State, it seems like every year they play a ridiculous schedule early. Like, they lose a bunch of games, but it doesn't matter. Because you're playing marquee opponents, you're getting good tests, And then guess what? They make the tournament. They always get in as like a six seed and then make the Final Four, make the Elite Eight. Because they play big time games. And they're not afraid to play anyone at any time in the season. Because Tom Izzo is a boss. Like last year, they lost their first two of the season, playing Arizona and Kentucky. They had four losses after their first eight games. But guess who those losses were to? Arizona, Kentucky, 20th-ranked Baylor, and Duke. In 2015, they beat Kansas. They beat Louisville. They beat Florida the first month of the season. In 2014, they lost three times in their first nine games. Duke, Kansas, Notre Dame. Like, they will play anyone, anywhere. And that is bad ass. Let's talk to Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Chris. I got three things real fast. First, the Blues. Because they're at the top of the Heat, they're going to go into a small lull, which is really energy-related, not car-related. This is a great team, but they've expended a lot of energy at the beginning of the season. It puts them at the very top, the very top. So, you know, I wouldn't be concerned about it. I expect them to win in Edmonton.
Yeah, you're still dealing with injuries, too, like Bomeister, Berglund, guys that are going to be back soon that generally play a lot of minutes for you.
They're not even at full power, and look what they're doing. You know, so we just need to calm down. And then next, the whole thing with Stanton and the Cardinals, I mean, forget it. I mean, the very idea of it's laughable. It's never going to happen, so just forget about it.
Why is
it? Because I don't think the Cardinals will spend that kind of money. I think there's too many potential negatives with him. I think they're going to have to find someone like him who's just beginning to bud.
Who's like him?
I don't know. Do you know? I don't know.
No, but I also don't think we know necessarily what the financial commitment would be, because the more prospects you offer and the higher quality prospects and players you offer to Miami, maybe they're willing to take some of that deal to the point where the Cardinals would be okay stomaching it.
Yeah, but there's too many entanglements there, and that's just not Mozeliak style. You'll find someone.
You signed Matt Holliday to a $100+ million contract. You signed Adam Wainwright to a $100+ million contract. I mean,
$100+ million isn't $300 million.
Again, you don't know what the commitment's going to be. They offered Jason Hayward $200 million. They offered David Price $225 million.
That's about as high as they'll go. They won't go to 300.
It might not be 300.
It's not going to happen, my friend. Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Okay. Missouri-Illinois is going to play at the Scott Trade this year?
Correct, like they do every year.
All right. Are they sold out?
Yes, I believe it is. I was looking at the secondary market. Cheapest ticket on StubHub right now, just to get in the building, is about $100.
Wow.
Cheapest ticket in the building.
Well, that'll be a big payoff.
That'll be awesome. It'll be great.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Rob. Thank you. Yeah, I don't think we know what the financial commitment's going to be. Now, we do know that Giancarlo Stanton cleared waivers, that no team just wanted to pick up that whole deal. But, you know, I've heard, you know, varying reports and guesses and ideas of what a package could do to offset the financial commitment, but also whether or not Stanton would accept a trade to a team like the Cardinals or the Red Sox. I think everyone, it's like I talked about this with Drew Silva last week on the show. Like, it's easy to say you want to go play in California, right? Like, shoot, nothing against St. Louis, but like Mike Anderson, nothing against St. Louis. But if someone called us up and said, hey, you want to live in like L.A. or San Francisco? Yeah, man. Like a lot of people would. If someone said you want to live in New York, yeah, a lot of people would. And I think a lot of athletes do, because what's on the West Coast and what's on the East Coast? The entertainment industry. Opportunities to make money and expand your brand outside of baseball. Acting. Hollywood. You know, Park Avenue. Wall Street. Like, of course you'd want to be on a coast. I think a lot of people would want to be in Miami. But A lot of factors that go into that. Maybe the Marlins don't get a deal with a team in California. Maybe you don't want to sacrifice the amount of money that it would cost you to go and pay state income tax on $30 million a year in the state of California. I think that these are all factors that will go into how these negotiations move forward. Maybe Giancarlo Stanton has said that he won't play here, here, or here. Maybe he hasn't. I certainly agree with what their president said and was written about by Derek Gould in the Post-Dispatch today, that there's no reason to tell anyone any of that because that just gives up their leverage. Why in the world would they give up their leverage? Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Got time for some more of your thoughts. And Mike Kelly's going to join me.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Be hanging out until 7 o'clock. That's when Wendy's Week in Hockey takes over. Alex Ferrario and Amy Mark scores. Hey, very excited that we announced earlier today. Myself, Mark Reardon, going to be a part of Bikes for Tykes, collecting new bikes for kids of all ages and providing them to the Marine Corps Toys for Tots program that services the St. Louis metro area. We are going to be at Toys R Us in Sunset Hills December 8th and 9th, starting at 8:30 a.m. on Friday the 8th until 8 p.m. on the 9th. Come by. You can donate new bikes, cash donations. Toys R Us, special pricing and inventory available to people purchasing bikes to donate. Again, this at the Sunset Hills Toys R Us, Friday the 8th, Saturday the 9th of December. We'll have plenty more information coming up. You can go to KMOX.com/bikes. Let's head to Columbia. Mike Kelly getting ready to head to Utah with the Mizzou Hoops team. And then, Utah, then come back, Nashville. You're all over the place, man. What's going on?
It's called November.
You know,
it's just, kind of crazy, the November overlap between football and basketball. Yeah, so we head to Utah tomorrow and then back home after the game Thursday, head to Vanderbilt on Friday to play Saturday, and then little hoops on Monday in Columbia, then fly to Orlando on Tuesday. So, yeah, not bad.
Not bad. Put into perspective for me, big picture, kind of compare just the feeling you think around both programs in the athletic department from last year at this time, following some of the struggles and certainly also Barry Odom taking over and, you know, health issues with Gary Pinkle and new athletic director to, you know, what happened this past spring with the basketball program to where we are now. How far is the athletic department come in a short period of time?
Oh, yeah, that's an oh my. I don't know that you can quantify it. You know, you've gone from, you know, hope from a football standpoint that this would be a better season than last year in year two to, I think probably some Mizzou fans felt despair when Missouri got off to the 1-5 start, to now I think that there, you can make the argument that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And so, you know, it's, so that's on that front. And then it's just night and day from the feeling around the basketball program a year ago to the feeling around the basketball program this year. I mean, a year ago it was, here we go again, you know, with a team that can't win 10 games, to this year you have a team that, you know, obviously has a lot of people are very optimistic about what they might be able to do during the course of the season. And based on the first two games, you've seen some pretty encouraging signs on both ends of the court. And so, really hard to quantify the feelings from a year ago to, what the feelings are now this year.
It's pretty incredible, too, because to happen in such a short period of time, and not just the basketball, but even this year, the way that this football team got turned around. And I know we've talked about your expectations preseason and what a successful season would be, but to snap off the stretch of football that they have, I think a lot of people are still surprised by it.
Well, and I misgauged it early on. I mean, I thought this was a team that could win seven or eight games coming into the season because I thought that from an offensive standpoint, they were ready to take another step. And I think what we found out is that, different teams and different years, that different things happened, and they weren't mature enough and ready to take that next step on both sides of football. But I give a lot of credit to Barry Odom and to his staff and to the players in that locker room for seeing the big picture as opposed to, just losing their minds when you were 1-5 and when you'd lost three consecutive home games by an average of 29 points. The fans obviously were calling for Coach Odom's job and wondering if he was the right guy to lead this program. And, now they've been able to really just, again, focus on the process and the process of, trying to get better, being mature competitors, focusing and preparing the right way during the week and then executing on game day. Now, and granted, let's make the point, because it's a fair one, is that they have played lesser competition in the second half of the season. But at the end of the year, when you have an opportunity to perhaps get to a bowl, which Missouri now controls its destiny, people look at the number of wins you had at the end of the season, not at how you got there. So, it's been an interesting thing to watch unfold. Teams starting 1-5 and finishing 7-5 from a historical standpoint doesn't happen very often, and so it's one of those things that you've got to be able to just kind of keep it in perspective and watch it continue to grow.
In your opinion, how have you seen Drew Locke continue to mature, Mike, and continue to get better, not just as a quarterback, but as a decision maker? Because in the past, that's what we've talked about, right? Like,
well,
he can make all the throws, but to take the next step, sometimes it's the throws you don't make, or it's the decisions that you make versus the ones that maybe you didn't make in the past.
Yeah, it's called living to play the next play. And the thing about Drew is that he's got that mentality, that gunslinger mentality that all quarterbacks have to have. And that is, as evidenced on Saturday night, on one possession, he throws an interception that gets returned for a touchdown. And again, there was a bad route run by the receiver. But then on the other thing, the very next possession, he comes back, leads Missouri downfield, and throws a terrific pass to Emmanuel Hall for a touchdown. So, He doesn't get rattled, and he's able to flush what took place on the previous series or on the previous play, and continues to kind of strive to get better and make plays. I mean, he's got everything. I think in terms of some of the intangibles that you want. Obviously, he's got the big arm. He continues to get bigger and stronger. And now he just continues to I think learn and read and prepare at a much higher level than he ever has in his career, and that's very encouraging moving forward.
Does he look like a guy that could head to the NFL after this year?
Yeah, I think, put it this way, I think it's going to be a very, very interesting decision, because you look at the numbers. I mean, he's on a pace to put up some historic numbers. I mean, he's got 35 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions. He's thrown for over 3,000 yards. Two games remaining, there's a chance he's going to, be over 3,500 yards passing and probably over 40 touchdowns. And if you go to a bowl, then you just continue to enhance those numbers. And let's face it, I mean, teams in the NFL look at look at arm strength and look at several other things. I mean, you know, Mitchell Trubisky is a classic example of a guy that, you know, not many people nationally were talking about until, you know, he kind of popped some eyes in some individual workouts and at the combine and things like that. And so, I think he's going to have an opportunity. I think it's going to be an interesting decision that he and his father, Andy, and the family is going to have to make. I think he's going to get a favorable grade. My sense is that he'll be done for the senior season. But you know, I just don't know that. I just think he's going to be in a position that he's going to have one of those unique decisions to make.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard people compare him, like what he's done compared to like Blaine Gabbert and compared to Chase Daniel, just the arm and just the lasers that he throws. There aren't a lot of guys, even in the NFL, that have that kind of arm strength to make that throw. Now, it's different making it in college versus the NFL, but my goodness, you can see it, and you certainly have seen it over the last couple of weeks against, you know, SEC teams, despite their records, and SEC talent defensively.
Well, and you know, the difference between Chase and Drew is that Chase was just so much better prepared coming out of high school to play at this level, because that's all he did was play quarterback and train to be a quarterback and learned how to read defenses and continue to mature, in that regard after he got to school. I mean, for Drew, he's had to deal with a couple of different position coaches, a couple of different offensive coordinators, and also basketball was his favorite sport growing up. And so he wasn't one of those guys that was at every 7-on-7 camp or at every football camp or every passing camp and things like that, because he had other things he was interested in. But now that he's had a chance to kind of lock in and spend the last couple of seasons with Josh Heupel, who played the position at a very high level, I think you're seeing the byproduct of his work. And I think, again, going back to that decision he may or may not have to make, you put Drew Lock in an indoor facility for a one-day workout, and he's going to blow people away.
Mike Kelly is with us on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open line. Just a couple of games now, but what have you seen from this team without Michael Porter, Mike? Because all we do is talk Michael Porter. But what have you seen from them without him?
Well, balance. Four players through the first two games are averaging in double figures, two different leading scores. Kevin Puryear the first night, Cassius Robertson, you know, the last time out, a team that can attack you inside out, a team that can come in and hit you off the bench with not only size, but also with speed. A team that has the ability to hurt opponents in many, many different ways. And, you look at Puryear, you look at Barnett, and, you know, those two have been really consistent. Robertson's going to continue to just get more and more comfortable and, was terrific last night. Jeremiah Tillman, I think, was a great learning lesson for him to play in that game and get into early foul trouble and then eventually foul out, because it just goes to show him that different crews are going to call things differently and you have to be able to adjust your game. That's a learning process, but he was so dominant early that was fun to watch too. And then the other thing that just kind of has really captured your attention in two games is the other Porter. Jonte Porter is a terrific young player, classic pick and pop four, that at 6'11 can put the ball on the floor, has tremendous court awareness, has great lateral quickness, and could do things that are just hard to teach big guys to do, particularly, for a kid that's supposed to be a senior in high school right now. And I go back to a play that he made, against Kansas, where he hedged on a pick at half court, but then had the vision and the lateral movement to slide back into the paint and intercept the ball in the paint on an entry pass to the block. That's hard to teach. I mean, and it's hard to do. And so that just gives you, I think, just an inkling of how special this guy can be on the defensive end. So, it's been fun to watch the first two games unfold. And it'll be interesting to continue to see these guys grow.
What have you seen from Konzo, and how he manages a game, even if it's a game that is in hand, his intensity and his style of coaching. And what do you think Mizzou fans will continue to learn about the new head coach?
Well, he's always teaching. He's always trying to develop better habits. If you don't block out, you're coming out of the game. If you take a bad shot or make a bad pass, you're coming out of the game, because he's making a point and trying to develop habits. One of the most interesting points I think he made after the game last night is that Brett Rau and Adam Wolf, the two walk-ons, both hit three-point shots, but he was upset with them after the game because they missed a couple of blockouts. You know, again, every moment is a teachable moment, and he's constantly working. I love his communication. You know, you look at his decision with Mitchell Smith and C.J. Roberts, and, you know, there are coaches that could have looked those two guys in the eyes and said, yeah, what the heck, we're going to play. But he made a conscious decision that, no, that's not what's best for them, not what's best for the program. Let's let them, you know, sit and grow and get stronger and work on their games during this season. So he redshirted them. And then, you know, even with Michael Porter's situation, and I don't know, you know, the extent of what he's going through other than what folks have said is that it's a day-to-day process. But I think Konzo Martin was tremendously respectful to the Porter family in that, you know, all I know is it's day-to-day. I'll allow the doctors to update me and the trainers in terms of, you know, when he's ready to go, and any other information about his health should come from his family. I just think that's tremendously respectful. So I've got a great deal of, respect for Konzo in a short amount of time, just watching how this is unfolded. And, you know, a lot of people were taken aback because Michael Porter wasn't on the bench for the game against Wagner. And I didn't find that to be offensive at all. A, if he's going through rehab and if he's back in the locker room, to me that's time better spent. And the other thing, too, is that if he's on the bench, where are the cameras going to be the entire game? They're going to be on him sitting at the end of the bench instead of the teammates that he has that are doing a good job on the court. And so, again, I just think that was the right decision, and I respect that.
Yeah, it's so different, too, because – like, you're not just managing a young man and an athlete and a student athlete, but you're managing someone that, you know, in 6 months is going to be signing a contract that's worth, what, $16 million guaranteed over his first 2 years? And
well, it's a franchise, right?
$35 million over the length of the rookie deal. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you know, players of that ilk, you're not talking about just a player. You're talking about a franchise when you talk about the other things that come along with it, from, you know, not only the opportunity to sign and perhaps play at the next level, but then the endorsements and the other things that go hand in hand with that. So, I just, you know, for me, it's been really, really interesting to watch him do his job, and you know, I've certainly enjoyed, you know, the moments that I've had to be around him. Certainly respect how thoughtful and how really the manner in which he communicates has been fun to watch.
Hey, when you're in Nashville this weekend, do me a favor and give a wave to all the cranes in the skyline. I saw the soccer team announce the sale of their season tickets for their brand new building this morning on Twitter.
Well, I'm just another city that unfortunately our city has fallen behind. You know, if you look at Charlotte, if you look at Indianapolis, if you look at Kansas City, certainly if you look at Nashville, you know, St. Louis has fallen behind all of those cities. And honestly, I sincerely believe this is a city that's on a par right now with Memphis. So we can be better. And hopefully our leaders, if we have any in the community, and I don't know that we do, certainly from a political standpoint, we don't. Hopefully we can figure it out and figure out a way to make this great city, you know, again, great again at some point in time.
Hey, last question for you, and I know you are in and out of sports on a Sunday morning while you are jetting all over the country, but you have had some conversations, some Cardinals conversations and visits with John Mozeliak. What's your level of anticipation right now, and I'm sure when you're talking to people around town about the Cardinals, the level of excitement about the kind of offseason this could be in terms of maybe figuring out over the next few weeks or month a way to bring a transformative type player to the club?
Well, I don't think they're blind, and I don't think they're tone deaf. I think they hear what certainly the fan base is wanting, but more importantly, they see what the competition has done, and you know, they understand that that there's a void, and they have to fill that void, and there's an expectation on their fan base to do that. So I think they'll do everything they can to try and get that done.
Mike Kelly, who is a very busy man, have fun in Utah with the basketball team. We'll be watching and then watching and listening on Saturday as Mizzou tries to officially punch their ticket to bowl eligibility with their sixth win. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, man.
Bye, buddy. Okay.
All right, we had a caller float a couple of Cardinals' potential target names. I'll get to those when we come back.
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You play to win the game.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We don't follow another team style. We just weren't ready to play, and that was evident right from the draw of the puck. We were very fortunate to tie the game up in the third period in a couple occasions. Very, very fortunate. And so, yeah, we weren't good, but we were expecting a better response tonight, and we'll have obviously a real tough practice here leading into heading into Edmonton.
That's Mike Yeo after the Blues lost last night on Fox Sports Midwest, a tough one. 7-4, losing to the Calgary Flames. Final couple of minutes of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line before Wendy's Week in Hockey. Add a caller, throw a couple of names out there. Jose Abreu, Freddie Freeman, maybe even Todd Frazier if you're looking for a third baseman. The Frazier thing, I think, is kind of tough because you're dealing with some of the same positional redundancy that we've mentioned as the Cardinals are concerned recently. Like, you've got Carpenter, you've got Jerko, you've got even a Paul DeJong. Like, where do you play all those guys if you bring another, for instance, third baseman into the mix? I think that Abreu is very interesting, although we've seen the White Sox ask for a ton. Look at what they got for Chris Sale and Adam Eaton. He's under control. He will cost a ton. And I also think that Freddie Freeman just isn't going to be moved. I don't think the Braves have any intention of moving him, especially in that new ballpark. But GM meeting's rolling. Looking forward to the next couple of weeks and looking forward to the winter meetings next month in Florida. Wendy's Week in Hockey coming up next. Thank you to Mike Kelly. Thank you to Ben Boyd and Mike Anderson. I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Until then, it's been the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby saying be nice to each other. And as always, peace!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.